Good morning, KINS. Wow. Okay, these guys sat up. As you can tell, my voice is a little raspy. I'm hoping that it's pollen in the air.
Either that or you spent all weekend singing and you're...
No, I did nothing. Actually, I was sleeping. I just felt gunky.
Wow.
So, and...
Well...
I don't know.
You'll be okay for this week.
I'll make it through the next half hour, and that's all that matters, right?
We'll try to help you out.
Oh, Mr. Dr. Eagles is with us.
Good morning, Brian.
And you brought along a buddy again.
I did. I found him sitting in the waiting room just, and I said, come on down. This is Dr. Peter Stoll. Peter is our Director of Mental Health Services, and he's involved in some very special efforts here at the County Office of Education, working with school districts on setting up something that's called multiple-tiered systems of support for all children. And I asked him to come on down today to talk a little bit about some of the challenges that schools are facing and some of the solutions that they're pursuing.
Our quote this morning comes from Ralph Waldo Emerson in 1831, quote, "The things taught in schools and colleges are not an education, but the means of education."
Uh-huh.
There you go.
Yeah, that's a good segue.
So, Peter, what percentage of the student body is... I don't know if impacted is the right word, or afflicted. I'm not sure which group, by mental health issues.
Well, currently, current research is showing that out of, across the nation, 1 in 5 students, 20% of students have significant mental health issues that could be addressed either in a community or school-based setting.
So how is that defined?
That would be defined as, though there's many ways to define that, but one would just be a child's level of functioning. There's a clinical definition where you would actually have a true diagnosis. But what we really are doing is looking at children's functioning in a system and what might be impacting their ability to access what we call, pro-social or pro-academic behaviors.
Pro?
Yeah.
Like there's like a positive. Amateur?
Positive.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, pro. Yeah.
So is this kids acting out in school like when we were all going through? Well, maybe not you, but when we were going through, kids that would get in fights, things like that? Or are you talking about a different definition of what mental health is today?
I don't think it's a different definition of mental health. Of course, those definitions are constantly changing with research and assessment, but... what we're really looking at is students that either, there's two types of manifestations of mental health issues. And one would be an internalized state, which could be looked at as withdrawal or anxiety that's debilitating and perhaps makes it so a child isn't able to access their education. But then you have externalized behaviors as well, which could look, maybe look like an attention issue or move into aggression. What we have seen and discovered in the, really fairly recently, there's a study called the adverse childhood experiences. And what this did is this looked at indicators of hardships that somebody would experience early in life. And what they have determined is that the more ACEs, the more adverse childhood experiences somebody has, that can lead to maladaptive behaviors, addictive behaviors, unhealthy living, and then an early death. So it's really a public health issue. It's an education issue. And what we've seen and what researches indicate is that Humboldt County is one of the 3 counties in the state of California that is most affected by this level of trauma. And so...
KINS News and Information Times, 819.
You've never heard us before because we're something brand new. It's called Destination Radio. If you live in Ferndale or Gold Beach, Blue Lake or Klamath, Brookings or Eureka, you'll be looking for someplace different to take the family, something special to do next weekend. The best destinations for day trips and overnights, for hiking or biking, for beachcombing or birdwatching, and you'll turn to us for ideas, because you're the reason we're here, to help you find your close-to-home destination. Stay, play, and relax with us. Destination Radio.
Good morning, KINS News and Information Time. It's 8:24. We're back to Talk Shop this morning with Gary Eagles and Peter Stoll. Peter, the concept of, I guess, the end result of whatever the causes are that manifest in the kids in the classroom and disrupt the classroom setting. Has there been any indication why our area is so high? I mean, you mentioned third highest in, out of the 58. Well, okay, that would stand to reason, I guess, to a certain extent, just because of the drug culture we're in. But is it just that simple to say, or is it more complex?
It's certainly a complex issue. I mean, you're looking at, of course, the drug culture plays into these things. And, you know, anybody who's following the news and reading the Lost Coast Outpost is aware that that's something that's greatly impacting our community. But we're also looking at a community where the industry has really decreased over time and poverty has increased. And that, you know, when that happens in society, people turn to you know, those maladaptive behaviors. And not only that, that's just a hardship on the society as a whole. So I think that if, you know, if you do, like I mentioned, the adverse childhood experiences, if you went through that list, you would see that it's not one thing, but it is a, you know, a compound effect of many difficult experiences. So that could be early death of a parent, incarceration of a parent, you know, child abuse, suspected neglect, these types of things. And you know, education as well as social services are very overwhelmed with what we have to, you know, field these days.
Hadn't even thought about the parents being in jail, but I suppose that would have an impact. Mm-hmm. But we can't have a higher level than normal in that area just because we don't have the capacity here.
Yeah, I don't know those numbers.
Huh. Interesting. So you got more kids affected one way or another by this, and I would suggest more classrooms than impacted by this, as those kids either have their coping skills, or the system does, or they don't, and they're having to deal with that. Yeah. What is a teacher supposed to do in these kinds of situations, or teacher aides, or principals, or anybody else? I mean, they're supposed to be educators, not psychologists.
True. There's a phrase that I use, or a quote that I use in my training sometimes, and it says, you know, if a child can't read, we teach. If a child can't do math, we teach. Child doesn't know how to fish, we teach. If a child doesn't know how to behave, we punish. Now, punishment, of course, is something that will always be in play in our culture. But what we need to do as educators is, we don't necessarily need to be psychologists as educators, but we are educators. So when maladaptive behaviors occur, it is really our charge to correct that rule-violating behavior, and then explicitly teach what that expectation is. And then when that child is able then to do that or demonstrates that, we recognize that, we reinforce that, we encourage that. So it's really, you know, if we look in at problem behavior as a skill deficit instead of a deficit within the child, now we've got something to work with, because we can start looking at the skill set that they need to be successful and productive.
Got to deal with anger, as an example.
Got to deal with anger.
Now, what about these kids who come from the drug homes? It doesn't matter, I don't think, what drug. They don't have boundaries. So it's not a matter of skill sets. It's a matter of understanding that there are things that are acceptable and not acceptable. Period, end of story. They're non-negotiables.
Right, but the only way that a person really gains insight or an understanding into what those boundaries are is by explicitly being taught those boundaries.
Repetition.
Well, it's repetition.
So if it's not done at home.
Consistency across a setting.
So if it's not done at home,
mm-hmm.
How do these kids accept or embrace these boundaries that only happen during a few short hours of every day?
Well, you know, I would say the majority of a child's life, in their waking hours, is spent in the school community. And what we have seen is that, you know, a lot of the research and the work that's been done around resiliency shows that we can't always change what's happening in the home. We know that. We can try, and we can help, you know, collaborate and build community supports. But what we can do is we can build, you know, healthy, safe school environments, and by doing that, create a setting where a child finds community, finds refuge, can learn, and through consistency across and a common language for the staff and working with students, what we really see is that children that come from difficult places can do very well when supported, you know, in a systematic and compassionate way at a school.
And of course, somewhere along that continuum, you start getting close to the, we don't want educators teaching our kids certain things.
Sure.
So, you know, there's that zone that's there. But how do you teach communication skills? Because I would think that that's probably a top three issue in school education across the board. Kids normal, kids exceptional, kids a challenge. Whatever it is, communication skills so that they can express themselves or understand what somebody else is saying.
Right. Well, I like that because I think that's a really nice lead into something that I was hoping to speak a little bit about today, and that is restorative practices and restorative justice and some of the work that's been being done there. And what we're
we'll just do that when we come back.
Okay.
Unless you can slam it in 5 seconds.
No, I can't do that.
Okay. Hi, Gary.
Hello there,
Brian. Okay, good deal. It's 8:30.
What could we do as a community to make Humboldt a better place to work and live? The answer is to make sure our kids are literate, able to plan financially, move forward in their education so they are better prepared to enter our workforce, and become contributing and productive members in our society, community, and economy. How do we do it? Through the Decade of Difference Initiative. Visit decadeofdifference.org and find out how you, as a parent, student, or business owner, can help. It's the Decade of Difference. Be part of it.
Good morning, KINS News and Information Time. It's 8:35. We're back talking shop this morning with Gary Eagles and Peter Stahl. Talk shop presented by CDH Painting and by Aridec. Peter, before the break, you were talking about this some kind of a goofy phrase called restorative practices. Okay. When I hear restorative, that sounds like restore. That sounds like they had something to start with.
Sure.
Is that what this is all about, getting the kids to remember what they should be doing? Or is a lot of it trying to put in what societal norm is?
You know, there's a continuum of restorative practice. There's, there's restorative practice in the informal sense, which could be incidental learning on a playground, getting people to communicate with each other, teaching around that moment. And then if you think of that continuum continuing, then we could look at a classroom experience. There's something that you'll hear in the educational world a lot, and this isn't just locally, this is nationally and in fact internationally, where they talk about circles. And what circles are is an opportunity, some might call it a modified morning meeting or something like that. But so the circle happens and you get all the students together and teach them, one, how to take turns in their talking. It can be topical. Many times those topics can be about a simple sharing or could be about a social-emotional curriculum and a learning objective. It's also a language-rich experience. It shows reciprocity, listening skills. But what we find, I think, is more important than anything, is to provide people the opportunity to understand somebody else's experience. And by doing that, it breaks down walls of non-understanding that leads to disruption or ideas that can damage relationships.
Now, is that for little guys?
That can be.
Or does that happen at the high school level? I can't imagine kumbaya circles or the need is going to be different at different ages.
Yeah. Any listener out there who would be interested to see this in action, or yourself, Brian, could look at Miss Noonan's morning meeting on YouTube. So that's Miss Noonan, N-O-O-N-A-N-S, I believe. And it's a wonderful example of how that can work in a classroom setting for youngers.
Yeah, that's what I was saying for the K-3. It would be probably the first opportunity they've had, particularly if they're the first in the family.
Right.
This concept of sharing, or if they're an only kid.
Right. Moving up that continuum, What we're really looking at when you move into, you know, what's called restorative justice, if it, you find it in the correctional world, or what we call in the educational world, restorative conferencing. And this is, can happen, you know, middle school, high school, but as, you know, in addition to or as an alternative to high stakes discipline, for rule violating behavior. So, you know, let's just say a child offends against another child. And so this gives an opportunity for the victim and the offender to be able to speak about how that situation affected them. And also, there's three points to the triangle that makes it truly restorative. That is, the victim is there being represented and has a support person. The offender is there being represented, has a support person. And then the community. So that could be a school administrator or a couple people, a teacher and administrator, to talk about how that affected that community. And it's a very, you know, it's scripted, it's systematic, but it's a way to, and then the facilitator helps this conversation happen. What we really want to do with discipline is, yes, actions need to be taken. Maybe a school is child's removed. Maybe they even go to juvenile hall. But there needs to be an element of teaching. And when somebody's reentering back into a community or when somebody has these types of experiences, we want to, as they say in the restorative world, we want to separate the deed from the doer. We don't want to say, you're a juvenile delinquent, this is how you're going to be forever. We want to say, this happened, this is why. What did it mean to you? What did it mean to the victim? How did it affect the community? And how are we going to make it right?
And so, do they care?
Do they care?
Well, does the offender give a rip?
Well, I would say that oftentimes yes, and sometimes no, right?
Okay.
To be fair, I certainly have had experiences where we had three offenders and we were working in that situation, and it really seemed like one of them really got it, and the other two wanted to, you know. But, this is, education's a process. So, you know, you can't teach somebody one thing one time and expect results, which is why when you weave these things into the fabric of a culture and have the circles and have and all the way up to the conference, now you have a rich environment. So when the conference happens, there's already the understanding of the community. There's already the understanding of why community.
The underlying
is the underlying has happened, right?
Gary, isn't there like a peer judicial system in the schools, you know, where you've got kids acting as juries, as judges, and that things like what Peter's talking about can be presented in?
That is one of the concepts that can be brought in.
What's it called?
Well, there is a peer jury that can exist in certain high schools. It just depends if they've embraced that program.
Oh, okay.
This is similar, but it is a different process.
I think what we're talking about here, Brian, is coming to an awareness in education that we need to go about doing business differently. You know, we can't just be focused on the academic achievement and say we're just here just about the academic achievement. We have to step back as educators and say, how do we connect with kids? Because it's not just reading, writing, arithmetic, the old three R's. The fourth R is about relationships. It's about making the connections. The really great teachers just oftentimes intuitively just adapt their approach and are able to reach kids. But actually all teachers can be taught these skills about how to reach kids in crisis, kids who have suffered trauma, how to find a different way of going about establishing that relationship so that the child feels safe and is in a mindset ready to learn. And ultimately that's what it's all about, because we will be better at our jobs of educating children when we reach all children more effectively on an interpersonal basis and get them ready to learn.
KINS News and Information Times 842. We'll be back with more from Gary and Peter.
What's the shopping show all about?
If you haven't listened to the show before, it's kind of tough to describe.
I guess the easiest first step is to simply go to the Shopping Show website.
TheShoppingShow.net.
And join us this Saturday for the next Shopping Show.
On KINS 106.3 FM.
KURY FM 95.3 and 101.3 in the Illinois Valley.
And KEKA 101.5 and 100.9 in Eureka.
Good morning, KINS News and Information Time. It's 8:47. We're back talking shop this morning with Gary Eagles and Peter Stahl from the Humboldt County Office of Ed. Peter, where, with the discussions we've had so far, does safety on campus come in? Because it would seem like it's either a byproduct of or a goal of a lot of the work that you've already discussed.
Well, safe schools, of course, is a priority for educators and certainly the County Office of Ed. We want to support schools in creating safe and healthy environments. Early in our conversation, we talked about MTSS, the Northern California MTSS Coalition. MTSS stands for Multi-Tiered Systems of Support. And in a nutshell, if you imagined the base of a triangle that, or look at a triangle, if you think of the whole triangle, that's 100% of the student body. We're looking at a three-tiered system in general that we're introducing and assisting schools in creating on their campuses. So a tier one type of intervention would be something that all students participate in. So that is, looking at schools that have a common set of expectations and rules. An example of that would be safe, be respectful, be responsible. What does that look like? What does that look like across the school? How do we explain that to a kindergartner developmentally, opposed to maybe an eighth grader, is going to look different, but still the same tenets. And looking at maybe a social emotional curriculum, so teaching good citizenship, understanding, diversity awareness, those things that come with problem solving, that's social emotional curriculum. So all students receive that. And what we see is that there's 20% of the students that may not respond to that level of intervention. So now we move into a tier two intervention, which would be a selected group. So you mentioned anger management earlier. You could have an anger management group. Maybe this could be a social skills instruction group, some type of a support group for students. And in theory, that another 15% of the students are going to respond to that intervention. Then you've got the very top of the triangle. And you're always going to have the top of the triangle, right? So that's going to be highly individualized, specific to the child types of interventions. But if you don't have the base and you aren't affecting those, 70 to 80% of students on the onset, those top of the triangle interventions, they're not as effective because they don't exist in a rich environment. All of those things, those efforts, that coordination, the consistency with students, using a trauma-based approach and building relationships, as Gary spoke about earlier, which is key to all of this work, then we start to find that the culture shifts and that we have a place that's safe for students to be.
So if you go 80, 15, and 5 with students, is it the same percentage with faculty?
That's a good question, right? Because we're not just talking about changing student behavior, but we're looking at changing adult behavior as well.
Thanks for coming by. See, I'm finally starting to wake up here a little bit. Join us tomorrow morning for more Talk Shop. Till then, go out and make it a good day. Hug somebody else. See you then.